shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In our affiliate spotlight, by the way, tonight, we were remiss in our first hour. I want to mention KERN in Bakersfield, California, Kern. KERN is in Kern County. And KCPS in Burlington, Iowa, two great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com, which if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, that's exactly what you're looking at. And if you are watching us on Phil TV and HD, then you obviously already have a backstage pass. If you don't have a backstage pass, come on over and join us. We have live streaming video of our show every night. We have thousands of hours of archived downloadable material. We have many generations of the Phil Hendry Show and many different kinds of radio that we have done throughout the years. And we also have our character clips. And we also have our other video presentations, such as the pilots, the TV pilots we've done, TV things that we've done. Interviews, and much, much more. Our classic Phil, which is free, is also can be subscribed to through our website. So head over to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. You can also win an opportunity at a free month of listening. That's right. If you'd like to check out what it's all about for free, see if you can't win yourself a free month by entering our drawing. And here's how you enter our drawing for a free month of Phil. You just go over to our fan page at Facebook, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, P-H-A-N-S, and like the page. If you've already liked the page in the past, you can go over to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. So we're on Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, and hashtag PHS, hashtag PHS at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Two ways to enter our drawing, which is going to happen, I think, Monday. And somebody's going to win the first ever free month.
We're going to give away every month, right?
We're giving it away every month, a free month every month, to a lucky, 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 so lucky person. All right. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to bring on Margaret Gray here in just a moment, who writes the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me. And this is a very interesting story she's going to talk about. In Chandler, Arizona, Aaron Carr Jordan, who is a college professor and is a mom. She got a very surprising letter this week, very, very early in the morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, as a matter of fact, when she got a hand-delivered letter. And what Mrs. Jordan got was a letter from a lawyer. And the lawyer was representing McDonald's. And the lawyer handed her a letter from McDonald's that said, "We don't want you anywhere near our restaurants, if you don't mind there." In Chandler, Arizona, there are 8 specific McDonald's restaurants there in the Gilbert, Chandler, Phoenix area that she's not allowed to set foot in. She's not allowed to be around. And what's the reason for that? Because they feel that her appearances there, her behavior there is disruptive. We're going to get a little bit more on this story from Margaret Gray, who has been following it. And, Margaret, I understand, first of all, thanks for being with us.
I'm very happy to be on, Phil.
I understand you're a fan of this woman.
Phil, I'm telling you that Aaron Carr Jordan is what every woman, I think what every woman would like to be, and that is a woman who is constantly vigilant and constantly on the lookout for what is absolutely the very best thing for their children. She's doing the work of a lot of women right now. And we must, I really think, Phil, we must give her our support.
What is she doing?
Well, what she's doing is she is attempting to get the people at McDonald's in the Phoenix and Gilbert and, I'm trying to see this, if you can read this.
Phoenix and Chandler.
I don't know
Chandler.
Chandler. She's trying to get 8 specific McDonald's restaurants to show some responsibility, Phil, and to show that they have the well-being of their very young customers at heart. She has been into these different McDonald's, and she's been to the play places. Now, are you aware of what these play places are?
Yeah, these are the areas at McDonald's where the children play.
Yeah, primarily preschoolers, or they can also be very young elementary school children, I think. But these are areas outside of McDonald's at these restaurants that children are playing in. Now, given the fact that children are playing in these areas, what do you think you're going to have? you're going to have a lot of bacteria. You're going to have a lot of these viruses that children transmit between each other. You're going to have a lot of very unsanitary conditions. And when you factor in, and I don't want to sound like Ted Bell because I just heard the segment you did before me, and I believe me, Phil, I'm not classist, and I'm not an individual who believes that I don't believe in the stratification of society and so on and so forth. But you do have to factor in that there are a lot of children coming into these McDonald's restaurants from areas outside of the central metropolitan area of a McDonald's. And you know what I mean by that?
No, I don't.
Each McDonald's has its own metropolitan core. In other words, each McDonald's that we have in America, because of the popularity of the restaurant, is in and of itself a center of commerce, a center of socialization. They are that important, Phil, the McDonald's restaurants, to American, sort of to the daily,
daily rhythm?
Well, the daily business of our lives. And rhythm, not daily rhythm. I wouldn't use that word.
All right, daily business, that's a good word.
Thank you. They are very important, and so they are metropolitan. When you take in the surrounding areas of a McDonald's, those become the suburban areas. Now, what we have with a lot of McDonald's, we have restaurants that are attracting children from outlying areas. That is, areas beyond the metropolitan reach of any single McDonald's. They are children, therefore, Phil, that are coming in from rural areas. Now, they're not really rural, but to the McDonald's, they're rural. You understand? So let's say a young child is coming from the inner city to a McDonald's in a suburban area. If that child is not organic to the metropolitan area of the McDonald's, the child is rural.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so every McDonald's restaurant
is in and of itself the metropolitan core of wherever it is.
Is the metropolitan core of wherever it is, meaning that McDonald's restaurant has, by virtue of its existence...
Yes, has created a metropolitan business rhythm around it and in it. And either you come from there or you don't. And if you are, and to use the terminology of the day, if you're shagging in from the sticks, you know, if you're coming in from the rural areas with your children, you're bringing diseases that are unknown to that metropolitan core. And that's what Erin Carr Jordan's work has been all about. She's trying to identify a lot of these diseases that are exotic to the metropolitan core. Where she lives and where her children live, they don't have things like ringworm. They don't have head lice. That is something that is brought in from the ruralization, from the farmland.
You're talking about farmland. And a moment ago you were saying inner city.
I am talking about inner city, but because it's beyond the metropolitan core, it might as well be farmland. You understand what I'm saying?
Not really. I mean...
Bill, it's very easy. I'm saying... I'm speaking English, Frank. I'm saying, Phil, anything that is beyond the metropolitan core of any McDonald's is the sticks.
Okay, so if a kid comes in, even if he's from the inner city, and he goes to a metropolitan... Not metropolitan.
If he goes to a McDonald's that's in the suburbs, he's in from the sticks. He's in from hillbilly land. And he's bringing his head lice with him.
Yeah, that's the point.
And he's bringing his head lice with him. What is she finding out? I understand.
Bill, don't get impatient because there's a lot more. I've got a lot more to explain.
Well, we need to kind of get to the core. Speaking of getting to the metropolitan core, you know, we need to get to the metropolitan core of the subject. You know. Margaret?
Yeah, no, I heard you, and look, I don't know any other way to say this. I know I'm on the air. Don't make me angry tonight, Phil.
I'm not trying to, Margaret.
I am very, very dedicated to this woman and her work. Please don't do it. Please don't make me angry. Please.
I can vouch for that, Phil, when he gets back.
I'll talk, Frank, not you. So what we're talking about is Aaron Carr Jordan's work.
All right. And I know that we have some audio of Ms. Carr Jordan, and I would at this time like to get some of that audio up and running here, because there's some statements that she's made to the press, so on and so forth, and some things that might be illustrative, if you will, of what it is she's trying to say. Now, this McDonald's, which is located there in Chandler or Gilbert, here is Dr. Carr Jordan. She says she's found disgusting things that can make your kids sick in McDonald's playlands. Dirt, grime,
and fecal matter. That is very, very important. She has found excrement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, I am. But Ms. Gray, that is something which is another matter entirely, because they find that everywhere, you know. And
well, I can tell you this: you won't find that in my home. How? What does that mean? They find that everywhere?
They do. They find it. They'll find it in our house.
And where are they going to find fecal matter at our house?
Smeared on walls, smeared everywhere.
Oh, for God's... You are absolutely vile. And, Mr. Henry, I know what you're referring to. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
All right, I will take your word for it.
Thank you, because I came on as the expert guest.
I understand that. Here is Dr. Carr Jordan, Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan. She speaks of finding dirt, grime, rotting food, clumps of hair, sweat, swear words, graffiti, equipment in disrepair, broken windows, slides with gashes. I don't know. I'm reading a really big setup here. I'll bet you anything that that's exactly what she says. So here she is, Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan.
We found stuff that can make your kids very, very sick. We found dirt and grime and rotting food
and clumps of hair,
swear words all over the place. Graffiti.
That's just what you said.
Equipment in disrepair that's broken. Second story windows that are busted out. Slides that have large gashes in them. You name it. If it's a thing you don't want your child being exposed to, we found it inside these playlands.
That's one thing that I had told the guys that prepare the audio, and I guess they forgot, or that you don't have to transcribe it for me. You know.
What you just said is what she just said. So what's the point of you talking or her talking?
I understand. Here she is again, and I won't say anything, and here she is saying some stuff. How about that?
When I went in and repeatedly found that they weren't making corrective changes, I happened to have a longtime friend and colleague who specializes in microbiology and immunology, Dr. Furr, and I reached out to her and said,
Furr,
you know, can this make kids sick,
Furr.
And what do I need to do to find out?
So hold on, I can't hear anything.
Phone calls,
but I know, Dr.
I enlisted
Furr.
The help
Great.
Of the lab, and we started swabbing. We found several strains of opportunistic pathogens, in other words, things that can cause infection or disease. We found stuff that causes meningitis, foodborne illness, skin, hair, eye infections. Again, Bacillus cereus, Staphylococcus, fecal contamination, quite a few things, coliforms that can make children very, very ill, several of which are multi-drug resistant and potentially fatal.
That was two pieces of audio. Your comment?
Well, I think Dr. Carr Jordan is alerting mothers everywhere that when you take your children to these common play areas, and you let your children loose into this... It is a wonderland of filth, Phil. It is an amazing, almost a magical place of bacteria. And you heard what she said, pathogens and all of those words. The one thing that does bother me about her is she obviously thinks she's special with the pathogens. She sounds like she thinks she's special, but I really believe in her. And when you let your children loose in a McDonald's play area, you're letting that child loose in a panorama and a wonderland of disease and rash and dripping sores. And
God almighty.
That's right, Phil. Read it and weep. Read it and weep, as they say in poker.
You know.
Because I've heard you guys play poker.
All right, we're going to take a break here as Margaret Gray continues to talk with us. And you heard the audio there from Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll continue talking about how safe are these play areas for your kids on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
A wonderland of drip.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And on the line with me is Margaret Gray from the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me. We're talking to her about this work or this alert, or if you will, this controversy in Arizona, started by Dr. Carr Jordan, Erin Carr Jordan. She is, Margaret, where is this woman from? What are her credentials?
Well, she's currently, Phil, she's on faculty, I think, at Mesa College. She's also on faculty at the University of Phoenix. And one other school. She was at Arizona State, and she's very eminent, I think, in her own way. But I don't think you need to have a great deal of I don't think you need to have a big long resume, as my son says, Jason J. Delmonico. He says you don't need a big long resume, Mom. And he's right about this. I think what we're talking about are our children. And where they play. Now, I had taken a series of promotional pictures for Little Bird Told Me and a children's contest that we were having, a children's art contest. Now, for fun, I went over to a local Chuck E. Cheese and I sat in the little ball bin that they have. And if you've ever seen this film...
Yeah, it's a big play area.
Yes, it's a big play area where the children jump into the ball. I sat in the ball bin. And then I began to feel very uncomfortable because I realized, my God, I'm sitting in this area on balls and children have been here. There is no doubt that they most likely have urinated. There is absolutely no doubt at all that some saliva has been smeared and, my God, I remember feeling sick, and Frank, you tell the rest of the story, because I am very...
All right, well, he got in the ball bin, he got out of the ball bin and began to walk, gets outside, and there's a producer, and I know the guy by the name of Jeff Wimcock. She's a producer over here at Vesley, which is a production house, and recognized Margaret and asked him if he wanted to be in a Western, and
what's this got to do with the ball bin?
Hold on. I was going to say hold your horses, but I don't want to say. And he'd been walking bow-legged and with his arms out over to his side because he was infected.
Yeah. I walked out of the restaurant with my arms away from my body and my legs spread, and I just was sort of walking almost robotic because I didn't want any of this stench to rub off anymore on me. This smartass by the name of, what's his name?
The producer.
Some producer said, have you ever been in a Western? Because obviously I was walking.
Well, he was walking bow-legged.
I wasn't walking bow-legged. And I heard the joke last night on your show, Mr. Henry, from this retard that you've got working for you.
And retard?
Yes, that is the French pronunciation and is acceptable if you use the French pronunciation.
Are you talking about Bud?
Yes, Bud Dickman, the retard. He said that I walked bow-legged, and he was making some sexual joke.
I didn't make a joke about it at all. I don't even remember.
He doesn't even remember. But get to the point here.
The point is I had sat down in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. Is there anywhere on earth that is more rife, that is more teeming with deadly bacteria than the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese? Is there?
All right.
Is there?
Give her a chance.
I'm giving her a chance.
I don't know, Margaret, if there is or not. But I will tell you this. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
No, oh, that's funny. Get to the bottom of what? The ball pit? I've already been to the bottom of it. And let me tell you something. It is slimed with children's loogie.
All right, we're going to get to the bottom of whatever it is you're talking about, because now you're way off into something else. You were talking about Erin Carr Jordan.
I am still talking about her.
Well, you're talking about the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. Now, that's a whole other thing. And I don't want Chuck E. Cheese getting mad at me. And I don't want to start rumors where we don't start rumors. You understand?
No, I am not starting a rumor.
You're giving an opinion. You're not a doctor. Dr. Carr Jordan hasn't been over to Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe she will. I don't know.
I would suggest that she goes to Chuck E. Cheese, because I got out of the ball pit, And I was imagining every child that had been in that ball pit purposefully licking and loogieing on the balls just in the hopes that an adult sat down in the ball pit. And
to get her picture taken.
It was a publicity shot. What is that? Is that music?
Hold on. We're going to be right back with Margaret Gray. And I guess Frank is there, too, as we talk about Dr. Aaron Carr Jordan and the bacteria at McDonald's on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
I wasn't walking bow-legged.
That's what she thought.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking with Margaret Gray about the news story out of Arizona. And this is Aaron Carr Jordan. You know, we're giving this lady, I'd never heard of her, but that's her name. And Ms. Gray, you've heard of her.
I have heard of Aaron Carr Jordan through this work, Phil, and I think it's outstanding. She's doing the children a great deal of good.
I know that. I'm just very wary of you bringing Chuck E. Cheese into it. When you talk about the ball pit and the loogie and saliva, and you're walking like a cowboy or something.
I was not walking. You know something, Frank? I, as God is my witness, I should hurt you for what you've done.
I didn't do anything. I brought up the fact that they...
I was approached by this smart-ass producer who worked over at CBS Laurel and said, would you like to be in a rodeo movie? And I said, why? He said, because you could drive a... He said you could put probably 3 horses between my legs. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. And I almost kicked him between his legs. And I was wearing very pointed high heels. And
well, what was going on? I don't understand. Why was he giving you this hard time?
Oh, my... Are you listening to me? I said I got out of the ball pit.
I heard you say that you'd been in this ball pit of Chuck E. Cheese, and it was rife with bacteria, which I don't know how you know that.
I'm a mother, Phil. For God's sake, I'm a mother. I'm not a doctor, you're right.
You're not a doctor, you're not a bacteriologist, you're none of those things. You're a mother, that's fine, but you are not qualified to say what may or may not be there. And on top of that, you're mentioning this a business, and I would rather that you not do that.
All right, I was at this fictitious place that has a ball pit, and they serve pizza and...
Okay, Margaret, you know, grow up.
I won't be spoken to like that.
Well, then please grow up and understand that we have laws in this country that protect businesses, even well-known businesses, from speaking untruths about them.
And how do you know I'm speaking an untruth?
Because you are not qualified to say whether something has disease in it.
All right, then I will tell you what I am qualified to say, and that's what my experience was.
Okay, fine.
I got out of the ball pit, and I felt unsanitary. So I walked with my arms out and my legs spread. Now, no, that doesn't mean that I was walking like a slut. It doesn't mean like I was walking as if I had a suppository. And I'm not yelling that because I don't want people to hear me. And
well, they can turn their radio up. I don't know why you're whispering. It doesn't work that way in radio, but anyway.
Excuse me, Phil, but I'm a lady, all right? So I wasn't walking with my legs spread as if I had a suppository.
I understand.
All right. I was walking because I could just feel, maybe it was psychological, but I could feel the filth and the drip-causing bacteria that would be in that ball pit.
The drip-causing bacteria. Now, that's a decidedly, I would say, adult disease.
Yes, it is.
Then why would that be present in a child's ball pit?
I don't know, Phil, but I'm telling you, I wouldn't put it past any ball pit that you want to talk about at any supposed child's restaurant to have every manner of disease. I could tell you that it would not shock me, and doctors have done preliminary work on this. You could get leprosy. And
no, you see, that once again, you don't know that that's true.
I'm imagining that one could go into the ball pit at a kid's restaurant, and within weeks, you've got a nose that's, well, you don't want me to say it, so.
He's trying to say your nose is going to come off.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life.
You know what leprosy is.
Yeah, of course I know what leprosy is. And you're not going to get it from a ball pit. I'd like to bring on the show right now, if you don't mind, Margaret. I want to bring on another guest.
My understanding was that I was the only guest.
This is a gentleman who's called in, but we know who he is because he's been on our program before. He's Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. He joins us on our newsmaker line. We give him the back line. Dr. Sadler, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
And you've been listening to our broadcast with Ms. Gray?
Yes. Good evening, Ms. Gray.
Good evening.
And what are your feelings?
Well, I like yourself, Phil. I feel that there's probably an awful lot of very preliminary and unnecessary conjecture. I agree with Ms. Gray that wherever children gather in large numbers, there's a great potential for there to be infectious or diseases or infections that are transmissible between children. I don't know what she was talking about when she said the metropolitan area and the kids are bringing head lice in from the rural areas. I meant that there are children bringing head lice into areas where there isn't head lice.
Well, you know, let's talk about this head lice thing.
Fine, because I enjoy discussing these things. This is very important.
You enjoy talking about head lice.
When it comes to the well-being of the children, of course I do.
And may I ask another question?
No, you may not, because I know it's going to be about my speech impediment, and I don't want to answer questions about that.
Fine.
Thank you, Doctor, for saying that. I don't think you should have to. Go ahead.
The idea that head lice is somehow brought in from outlying areas is ridiculous, because this is something children get. You can pick it up from dirt, soil, and so forth. That is present in many other areas where a kid goes to school. Myself, speaking of school, Phil, I was educated at a college, and I also went to a high school. And I have formal education, but I was born and I was raised very poor, and it sometimes comes out in my speech. You noticed I had a grammatical stumble there. But more importantly, I'm familiar with the diseases that children will get. Impetigo, for instance, which is
Oh, God, that is disgusting.
Well, it is a... Wow.
We're talking about little kids now.
I understand. Jason J. Delmonico got it, and it was a large oozing... Have you ever seen...
All right, don't go into specifics, all right?
It's very, very disgusting, and we ought to pity the children that get that, not talk about how disgusting it is. And
no, I understand that, but when you have a child come into your home, as I've had come into my home, and the child has a big, huge ringworm gash on her face, am I supposed to serve her at the same table with the other children, Doctor?
Ms. Gray, I would say that if you have a child in your home with a very large, as you say, ringworm rash on her face, I would send her home with the suggestion that the mother or father or whoever the responsible adult is immediately get in touch with a doctor.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said I would send the child home with a suggestion to the mother or the father or whoever the responsible adult is to immediately get in touch with the doctor.
One more time.
Okay, now, I know what you're doing, Ms. Gray, and you can hear what he's saying.
I'm sorry.
Is she screwing with me? Is that what's going on?
Yes, sir. Okay, well, he hung up. Yes, he's hung up his phone. So, in other words, Ms. Gray, one would have to ask this question at this juncture. Are you serious coming on this program and talking about Dr. Carr, or is this just one big silly-ass diversion for you?
Am I serious about coming on your show and doing what?
Ms. Gray, you were messing around with Dr. Sadler's speech impediment.
Well, I wanted to hear him. The man couldn't say something, and I wanted him to restate it.
Yeah, because you wanted to make fun of him. Now, are you serious?
I am, both, sir. I'm talking about the well-being of children, Mr. Hendry. Now, I have told you that I am in fear that if I step into a ball pit somewhere, and you know the kind I'm talking about, and I come out of that ball pit walking like...
Walking like a cowboy.
My God, you're laughing now, and that's the very thing you told me not to do.
It's pretty funny.
It is not.
All right, if you come out of the ball pit.
If I come out of that ball pit walking like Tom Mix, okay? And.
Who's she?
Tom Mix was a cowboy in the movies. That's not because I want to jump on a horse and I want to rope a steer. It's because, Phil, I feel that I have become, to use the phrase that children use, and it is one that child psychologists use, that I have been loogied and that I am at risk. Now, you can talk to Dr. Carr Jordan, and you can also get that saddler back on the line. I don't care. Both of them will tell you that you're at risk if you've been loogied or if you have hit a ball pit, and they don't mention restaurants.
Well, we're way off of McDonald's. I thought you wanted to talk about McDonald's.
I do want to talk about McDonald's, and I know you have other audio to play.
That's what I think I'd like to do, is play other audio, because I'm not getting anywhere with you. And
I have been interrupted constantly. Every time I make a point, I am being criticized.
But that's because you're making some very specific scientific points that I find to be very hard to believe, and that's why I want to stop you there. You don't have the credentials to make those statements. Here is now, this is Dr. Carr Jordan. She said that the statement from McDonald's was not enough.
McDonald's has put out a statement, and we want to make sure we have a chance to read it today. They say, quote, "We put our customers first and are taking these concerns very seriously. We've spoken with Dr. Carr Jordan and assigned a team to review the report findings and our own existing procedures." And they also say that while they've had stringent sanitizing procedures for weekly, daily, and even spot training, cleaning rather, we're always looking for ways to improve our standards and how they are followed at each restaurant.
Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, you have to play the other piece of sound, because Dr. Carr Jordan then gives us her scientific and eminently qualified opinion that McDonald's is playing a game. McDonald's is playing a little hide-and-seek, and they're playing a little you-know-what to the gherkin, you know?
All right. Here is Dr. Carr Jordan's other statement, you-know-what to the gherkin. Here it is.
I don't think it's an actual response. I think it's a statement, which really isn't the same thing, because they've taken no corrective changes. They haven't implemented any new policy. And so I'm aware of that statement. I have spoken with them, and I keep saying to them, how's that reviewing process going, and when do you plan on making actual changes? And without their policy actually being translucent, we're not even sure what the policy actually is. I know that it doesn't have any specific items related to disinfecting, and just to say you spot clean isn't enough, because it doesn't identify what that actually means. And the results that I'm getting consistently across the board from McDonald's and from the other establishments that I've been to indicate that they are not being cleaned. The levels are so high that that's just not true. So there's either no incentive for them to clean them, or they're just not being cleaned.
That's Dr. Carr Jordan, and she is pretty much, first of all, very long-winded and basically saying that McDonald's is doing it all wrong and they haven't done what they say they're doing. And she sounds like she likes to hear herself talk.
Well, Phil, with all due respect, you sound like you like to hear yourself talk, too. I think there's a lot of people that like to hear themselves talk. I think when Dr. Carr Jordan speaks, a great many very wise and wonderful things come out. Now, I do agree, because I've been in the media for a long time. She sounds like she wants a career. What I find suspicious about her is she sounds as if she wants a career as a Fox News contributor, because she's at da-da-da-da-da-da, and she has that cadence, which I find very obnoxious. And if I find out that she's actually bringing all of this up just so she can get a shot with Shepard Smith, I'm going to be very, very disappointed, because that takes her to a different level. She no longer cares about children. Now she's just another woman that will show it all, lift her skirt up if she has to. And
all right, I understand what you're saying. Let me get to a phone call here. Lloyd in Alhambra, California. Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask the lady who is on your program now.
What did you say? Is it the lady? How now?
How now, brown cow.
Oh, I didn't say how now, brown cow. I said I want to know from the lady. You didn't call me. He didn't call me a cow.
I don't know.
No, he did not.
I did not call you a cow, ma'am, if you'll listen to what I'm saying. My name is Lloyd Bonafide. I'm calling from Alhambra.
Mr. Henry already said that.
Well, I'm saying it again. And I have a grandson who I'm very concerned with, and we love to take him to the ball area. And we have put him in there and taken pictures of him, and I play, and he plays with his friends. And I have gone to... now I'm looking at this movie called Hair, and a girl just took her brassiere off. So I've got to go. The pig...
What happened to him?
Where is he, bud?
He hung up. I guess he saw a nude scene.
He saw a nude scene and he hung up. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. 877-876-PHIL. All right, well, look, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with the final segment with Margaret Gray and, of course, with her husband, Frank, and your calls at 877-876-PHIL on how hygienic, how safe, how clean is McDonald's play areas on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We have Margaret Gray here for a final segment as we discuss a doctor in Phoenix. She's an Arizona mother, as she was described, and we're giving her quite a bit of credibility here as some kind of a scientist. I don't know that we should be doing that, Margaret. Because she is a professor in college, and yes, she has a doctorate. I don't know what her doctorate's in, I don't believe it says in this article at all. She is an educator, and all of this is very well and good, but again, we have primarily a mother who is making all of these statements, you know.
Well, Phil, do you deny that the average play area at a McDonald's is rife with crawling disease? Do you agree with that? Do you agree that it's rife with crawling drip? And you don't like that?
No, I don't like that word. That's an adult disease.
All right. Do you agree that the average play area at McDonald's is crawling with infectious ringworm?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because I don't know that that's been established.
I just got done telling you that you don't think she's a scientist, huh?
I think that she is a woman who's attracted attention. That's fine. She's a doctor. That's fine. She's an educator. That's fine. And I think there's a very valuable statement to be made that wherever children congregate and wherever children have their hands on objects in a public, like a public play area, yes, there's a case to be made about keeping those areas as clean as we possibly can, because the kids are going to get, we know now, the different diseases and viruses that kids can get. Beyond that, though, I don't know that her findings, where she says that, oh, well, they found this and they found that and I tested it for that and there's a pathogen and blah, 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 I don't know that this woman is qualified.
Well, Phil, on the one hand, you say, yes, we should be very clean. On the other hand, when I tell you that I'm literally walking bow-legged out of a ball pit, you're laughing. And
because some guy stopped you and wanted to offer you a movie and a part in a cowboy movie.
So you automatically assume I'm walking like I could fit three wild stallions between my knees. That is insulting to any woman.
I never said that. Okay.
What a jackass.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. You said that you were walking out of the ball pit, and
I didn't walk out of the ball pit. I had to be helped out of that ball pit. That's how disgusted I was. That's how weak I'd become from the thought of it. And again, I will tell you this. Let's talk about McDonald's. Let's talk about those little tunnels that children crawl through. If you get fully loogied in a tunnel like that, and
boy, there you are with these childish terms like fully loogied. That's not even a scientific term. You know,
excuse me, yes it is. It's used by a great many doctors and scientists because they want to use a common language, a colloquial language that the doctors can communicate with the community at large with. So, and a great many diseases are named after. There's a disease that was named after a boy in the 50s. It's a rash. that you get, I think either in the armpit, Frank, you saw me reading about it.
I think it's a scalp rash.
It's a scalp rash. It's called, I think it's called Billy's what? It's
called Billy Rash or Billy's Bad Dings.
That was it, Billy's Bad Day. And
what the hell is it called?
It's called Billy, the rash is called Billy's Bad Day.
Billy's Bad Day, what does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean? It's a rash, it's an impetigo rash.
No, but why is it called Billy's Bad Day?
Because a kid named Billy got it in the 50s out of school somewhere, and it was a bad day for him.
That's the story. You know what, I find that hard to believe.
Oh my God, you're calling me a liar again.
877, no, I'm not. 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd is called back, sir. I guess you were finished watching your TV show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I apologize, but I saw the... I was watching the television.
Well, I heard you say you saw a woman's breast.
Yes, sir. Oh, now I'm looking at ass. Never mind.
Where'd he go? Hello?
Did he hang up again?
Yeah, he said he saw a butt.
I'm looking at ass right now.
Get out of here, all of you people. Phil Henry Show, News and Information Hour coming up next.
Phil Henry.
So you're calling me, you don't believe in me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Whoa, man, that is weird.
Come on down.
Go ahead, Ted. We got some problems.
Well, this is Ted Bell, and I hope people will visit us here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yeah, it sounds like you've got that wind tunnel effect there.
I think we hit two. I don't know. I don't know. Honest to God, I don't. All right, let's figure this out, Bud. What happened there?
You got two machines going.
Two machines going. But play that again.
From my end, I can hear it, Bill. Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Here, let me listen.
Get out of here and don't tell me how to do it. Thank you. Welcome to the show, folks. Boy, you know, if it doesn't rain, it pours. Trying to get into one radio show around here with things technically right, and what do I got here? The wind tunnel effect. What was that about?
Probably get two machines. Sound like you have two wave carts open.
Two wave carts open, Ted.
Well, I don't know anything that is... part of the technical end of if we've got it fixed, we got it fixed.
We do, and welcome to the show, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight as a regular sponsor of our show about a couple of issues in the news, and I know, Ted, one of them is this horrible story. And really the safety of patrons who go into any public establishment.
Well, Phil, it is absolutely paramount in our restaurant as it is in restaurants across this country. There's no question in my mind that we have a responsibility to our customers. And to that end, as you know, I have advocated, Jim Chumley has advocated, we've got any number of people with me in the Chamber of Commerce, the Beverly Hills Automobile Association. We are all united that we feel the time is right in the state of California for our restaurants to allow conceal and carry.
Conceal and carry, carrying of a firearm.
Absolutely. The conceal and carry, the conceal and carry argument, I think, was a... I suppose you could say that it was one of a number of arguments that people enjoyed having, but you knew you were never going to really move the debate along. But unfortunately, things have deteriorated to the level in our country now where we do have to be able, we got to be able to exercise our constitutional right under the amendments, and to that end, we do advocate that.
All right, so you, and now, again, you're talking about conceal and carry, and by the way, folks, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445 nationally. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You're talking about the concealing and the carrying of a weapon into a restaurant.
That is right.
in order, obviously, to protect oneself.
In order to protect oneself, in order to protect one's establishment, you know, this is a business, Phil, like anything else. And I put an awful lot into it. I know that there are restaurateurs and there are other business owners listening to me right now who have put an awful lot into their business. I feel, in part, I feel it is my duty and my responsibility to tell people who are in the same line of work, we have got to band together on this. Now, God forbid, and I can tell you in my restaurant it's never going to happen. And I say that not because I think I'm better than anybody, and I want to make that very, very clear. I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anybody at all. But in my restaurant, it's never going to happen. Forget it.
And well, you're talking about this horrible event.
In Nevada, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. We do a very cursory pat-down, if you want to call it that. We don't really do a pat-down so much as it's just a cursory. I check a gentleman's, myself or Steve Lumley, who is also one of our maitre d's, or Karen. We do a very, very brief pat-down under the suit coat. And the ladies are patted. They're not patted down.
You're patting people down in your restaurant?
No, that is not. When you say pat down, I think you have this idea of an actual police frisk. We don't do that at all. I will go up and just very as unobtrusively as possible, without anybody really looking. I don't want any of my patrons seeing this. Pat the jacket. The ladies get a similar kind of I guess you could call it just the hands brushing certain areas by one of our hostesses, by one of our female servers. So, rather, one of our female hostesses. So, we do that. And I have a sixth sense for these things. I don't know. I'm not saying that it's...
I want to go... Can I go back to this pat-down thing?
Hold on for just a minute. I just wanted to say, I have a sixth sense for these things. I don't claim to be psychic. I'm not on the program here to talk about that. But I have a very good sense for these things, and I can tell. I know police use a term about a guy being wrong. You ever heard this term, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, I know when a guy's wrong. I know when someone walks into my restaurant. If I walk into my restaurant, I know who the blankety blank is in the room. And if it is, the old saying, if there isn't one, it's you.
Okay, but I mean, you're saying that you have a sense. But nothing more.
Well, when you say "but nothing more," my sixth sense is very strong about these things. And on top of the fact that we are now advocating conceal and carry.
All right, but if you're advocating conceal and carry, you're going to have patrons coming in with weapons.
No. Well, you misunderstand what we're advocating. We're advocating conceal and carry for the restaurateur, for staff.
You're recommending conceal and carry for staff only?
For staff only. Not for restaurant. No, not for people coming in. No, I won't. I don't want people coming into my restaurant with guns. No. And I apologize, Phil, if I wasn't clear.
All right, well, then let me be clear. You are advocating conceal and carry, but only for restaurant staff.
Absolutely.
And who does that include?
Well, that includes everyone. That includes myself. That includes our servers. That includes our hostesses, our hosts. That includes anyone who's on staff.
Does that include busboys? Does that include chefs?
It includes everyone on staff, yes. I need to know, and I think anybody would want to know, that I've got, to use the old-time term, I want to know I've got muscle. I want to know that I've got some muscle if I need it.
And so you want to have an armed staff in your restaurant?
Yes.
All right. Okay. No armed... When you say conceal and carry...
I don't want any... No customers get to have guns. I don't want them coming into my place because I want to be able to control... If something happens, I'll take care of it. I don't want a customer killing me or a member of my staff. I don't need that. I don't think anybody needs that.
Well, but here again you have... This is a difference of opinion that people will have when we talk about conceal and carry.
Okay.
All right. First of all, people will say conceal and carry means everybody who is a citizen being allowed to carry, conceal and carry a weapon.
No. What we are proposing is that business owners who are on business owners who are in doing business, who are on site
and are going about the activities that constitute their business, they get to conceal and carry. And
so when you say conceal and carry, they're concealing a weapon in their own business.
Yes, and members of their staff, all right? And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about having people who are customers of mine coming in with weapons, because if something goes down, all right, if something goes down, I'll take care of it. I don't need a customer of mine killing me or a member of my staff.
All right, now people will say, and we're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, folks, our number 877-876-PHIL. People will say that you are making a statement assuming the wild firing of customers. What makes your staff so efficient?
Well, what do you mean, what makes my staff so efficient?
What, in other words...
In using a weapon?
Yeah.
They are at my... They're in my business. They're in my place of business. If something goes down, I run my place of business. I direct my staff. Okay?
I understand that, Ted, but you were saying that you didn't want anybody, any customers...
I don't want customers concealing and carry, because they're going to pull these guns out, and in the words of so many people, it could be a Wild West show. You're going to have people pulling guns out from every table, shooting holes in everything, including me, or a server, or one member, or God forbid, a member of my family. And if that were to happen, I can't guarantee the safety of anybody after that. So what I am saying is that I only want conceal and carry for the restaurant staff. For instance, at that restaurant in Nevada, only the restaurant staff. For instance, at any business or establishment, only the restaurant staff. Okay?
Yeah, but Now I have to advocate on behalf of people who are regular citizens who want to conceal and carry. You're saying, no, you don't get to bring that gun into my restaurant. Even though I believe in conceal and carry, I only believe it for my restaurant staff. If something happens, we will take care of you.
If something happens, I'm on it. All right?
And if someone gets killed, and I have to ask you this, if someone gets killed in your restaurant, are you going to take responsibility for that?
If someone gets killed by who?
By the gunman, by the whoever is perpetrating the crime.
If someone is killed by the person perpetrating the crime, that person takes responsibility for that. I don't take responsibility for that. Phil, I run a restaurant, okay?
No, I know that, but if you're telling me and you're telling my listeners that you are responsible for the safety of your customers, okay?
What I said, and I stand by these words, if something goes down at Ted's of Beverly Hills that is not the business that we're engaged in, which is a restaurant, if something goes down, if somebody wants to, someone wants to pull the iron and start to blaze away, I'm on it, all right? I'm on it. My staff's on it. I will direct my staff.
All right, I understand all of that, but what if someone is shot and hurt by the gunman?
Then the gunman takes responsibility. And
all right, well, let me ask you this. What if someone's shot and hurt by your staff?
That's not going to happen. See, this is the thing that I resent more than anything else. You're like a lot of these anti-gun people.
I'm not anti-gun, Ted.
Well, you're like a lot of these anti-gun people that say, if you pull the guns out, someone's going to get shot.
Well, you just said that about your customers.
I said it about the customers. That's a different story. I'm talking about my staff. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about my busboys, my waiters, the valets that park the cars. Those people should be armed and should be allowed to carry and conceal. And if it so happens that something goes down, all right, if something's going down downtown, as the police like to say, I'm on it, my staff is on it. And what I suggest my patrons do, or my customers, is to get as low as you can, hug the floor, until we're done.
You're talking about a restaurant staff of busboys and valets and yourself as if you guys are some kind of a security force.
I'm an American citizen who is entitled to own a weapon. Well, I don't understand what you're saying.
All right, okay. Take just a break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Should conceal and carry extend only to business owners? Meaning if you're in their restaurant, you don't get to conceal and carry. The restaurant owner does. The busboys do. The waiters do. The chef does. The owner of the restaurant does. You don't. That's what Ted Bell is calling conceal and carry. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. He also is patting down customers as they enter the restaurant. Is this an effective way of keeping violence out of a place as what is usually as pleasant as a restaurant and eatery. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Of course, my bus boys need to have a gun.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I can assure you that you are going to be safe and secure at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm on it. My staff is on it. And we've got great steak and great drinks, too.
By the way, Ted, not to get off the subject, but we've got some Ted Bell gear coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we absolutely do, Phil. We have the Ted Bell T-shirt, and I don't know why I didn't just go with the T-shirt. I know we had our bowling shirts, and I like the bowling shirts, don't get me wrong. But we have the Ted Bell T-shirt that's coming out, the official Ted Bell gear, and this is official, and it will be through the Phil Henry Show. I'm very proud to say, Phil.
I'm very happy to do it.
And it'll be through your shop on your website. We will have the official Ted Bell T-shirt with our custom-made logo. We want to put our meat in your mouth on the back of the T-shirt, and it's going to be coming up very, very soon. So I hope that a lot of you people are going to enjoy that.
All right, getting back to our discussion here, and our number 877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Conceal and carry means, in the minds of most people, it means, in my mind, it means that the average citizen who is not a lawbreaker, who has a clean record, who qualifies to own a gun, who is legally qualified to carry a weapon, that citizen is allowed to conceal that weapon and carry that weapon for the purposes that you and I have been talking about.
Right. Yeah, no, I heard you. But it's not going to happen in my restaurant. I don't understand why you think that I would want, and again, this is an area that I don't want to get angry. I don't want you to get angry with me. When I'm on your show, Phil, I'm talking to a certain group of people that ordinarily may not know about my restaurant. I got a lot of high-end customers. When I'm on your show, I'm talking to a group of people that may not want to go to, have never heard of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now they come in. All right? I am not necessarily comfortable with them walking into my restaurant with a gun.
And who, when you say them, what do you mean?
I'm talking about the person that I attract to my business by way of advertising, as opposed to just word of mouth in Beverly Hills. I got a steakhouse. I'm Ted Bell. I've got a... You know who I am, right?
Of course. I know who you are. I just... When you said them...
Well, I'm talking about the people. The talk radio audience tends to be... Boy, I don't want to get in trouble. It's a little Yahoo-y. It's a little... If they're walking into my restaurant with a gun, I got news for you. I'll pull mine first, because I don't trust...
So in other words, what you're saying is your customer is the one that you're suspicious of.
No, I did not say that. I said certain customers. If you... Certain
customers, that, i.e. The talk radio audience?
No, the... No, Phil, and I'm sorry that you've taken it there.
Well, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're saying that you don't want customers concealing and carrying in your restaurant. Certain customers, like talk radio listeners, are a little, quote, Yahoo-y. Now, that's what you said.
No, I did not.
Yes, you... Well...
You did, Mr. Bell.
Who was that?
That was Bud Dickman, and he was saying that...
I'm not interested in what he's got to say. I don't want to hear him on the segment that I sponsor. No.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here. We have James in Oklahoma. James, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
How are you doing, sir?
Good.
I don't really have a question as much as I'd like to offer my opinion. I find it, at the very least, presumptuous.
Right.
For the man, this man to... Ted, I believe, to state that...
I'm Ted Bell, sir. My name's Ted Bell. How you doing?
Okay. I find it, at the very least, presumptuous for this guy to state that he and his staff are more qualified than a normal citizen who might stroll into his restaurant. I was thinking
it's my restaurant.
My point is that, you know, I'm a combat veteran. I have a concealed carry permit. And if I walk into a restaurant, I don't know your background at all, but I don't think that I am unqualified.
Here is my background. I own the place. No, here's my background. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell, James. I own the place, you don't. There's my background. That's the only
opinion.
All right. No, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And when I frisk you at the door,
So you're going to frisk this guy.
Oh, see what he just did? He pushed... Oh, there, I just did that. And
what was that?
He pushed the button on purpose because he was angry. And I don't like that.
No, he didn't. The gentleman was hanging up and he pushed the button by mistake. And he's a combat veteran. And I'd like to have a little bit of respect for our combat veterans, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I have respect for combat veterans. You've said that twice, combat veteran. I have respect for him. But the only, as I said to him, and you see, and the thing that I think is interesting is he's a combat veteran. But hey, when I told him, when I laid the law down, boy, he backed off, didn't he? You can tell that.
No, I didn't hear him back off. What I heard him, he was very polite. He said, that's my opinion, and he hung up.
Well, that's not what I heard. I heard a guy get a little scared.
No, he wasn't scared. The gentleman was simply saying he's a combat veteran, he has experience with weapons. I don't know why you wouldn't want a guy like that with a weapon in your restaurant if something happened.
You want me to get killed, is that it?
What do you mean get killed?
Are you saying that guy's going to rob me?
No, I didn't. I said, why wouldn't you? No, he's talking about being a law-abiding citizen and helping you, is what he was saying. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, going to be back with Ted Bell. Conceal and carry, should that only apply to the restaurant owner and not the customers? Ted Bell says, yes, he doesn't want to get killed by, quote, yahoos who happen to hear about his restaurant on my show.
Phil Henry.
We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I'm Ted Bell, and I really want to clarify some of my remarks. I want all of you to come in for a great steak. That's number one. Great prime rib on Sunday. That's number two. And number three, I want to clarify my remarks. I want to carry the weapons, but I don't trust them.
All right. Well, we've had a couple of people call. We're talking with Ted Bell here from Tens of Beverly Hills on the idea of concealing and carrying in a restaurant. And I guess to that end, to the point of the discussion, I guess conceal and carry anywhere. But you're talking.
I'm talking about a restaurant. I'm talking about a place where my restaurant, my business. I conceal. I carry. My busboys. And
well, we had some people call. You talked to a veteran that had just called up, and you made a comment that he'd be a guy you'd suspect.
I did not mean to say that, and I want to clarify that. What I said was I would suspect him first of committing a crime, and people misinterpreted that.
Well, how do you misinterpret that?
What I meant was the following thing, and I want people to be clear. No one, and I mean no one, supports our military more than Ted Bell. Ted Bell has been front and center when it comes to supporting veterans' issues, and front and center, and Ted Bell has been there when the troops have needed things. And
so you've been very supportive.
Well, I don't use the first person when I talk. I use the third person when I talk about Ted Bell. Ted Bell, because I think it's that important. Ted Bell, not me, Ted Bell. Now, that soldier that called up, Phil, I did not say that, and people misinterpreted it when I said that he would come in and kill people with an automatic weapon. And
how do you misinterpret that?
Can I finish?
Yeah, all right, but I'm just, how do you take the words, a veteran with an automatic weapon is going to kill somebody? How do you misinterpret that?
May I finish?
All right.
Because the answer is, I have the answer. No one supports our troops more than Ted Bell. No one believes in our mission, the mission of our troops, more than Ted Bell. I do battle every single night with these liberals here in Hollywood and Beverly Hills. Every night I'm standing in the prime rib room with any number of liberal, Hollywood liberals, doing mortal battle with them, debating them on all of these issues. So I stand front and center behind the troops. I should say Ted Bell stands front and center behind the troops. We all know that those young men coming back have been subjected to terrible trauma, Phil. There's no question. I can't do it. I can't have one of them coming in with a weapon. I would be, it would not be responsible of me.
And what? So, in other words, a young man that is back from this very rightfully so, this experience of violence and death and war, this young man is not allowed to conceal and carry in your restaurant. Why?
I think I pretty much told you.
And no, I'd like you to articulate, please. Why? Why is he not?
Well, Phil, I'm sponsoring this segment of your program, and I don't think that you should pressure me.
Well, you have said that you want to be the one that's concealing and carrying in your own restaurant, and I think that soldier who called gave you that respect. He simply said, I have experience in combat, why can't I?
And I think I told you why.
No, you didn't. You did not.
Well, Phil, if you're pressuring me into saying that...
You have intimated that a guy coming back from a war, from the theater of war like Iraq, is going to be somehow prone to a violent act.
I'm telling you, no one supports our troops more than...
Yes, I know, than Ted Bell. I know you do. But are you saying that those troops...
You heard what I'm saying, that if... You want me to spell it out? If a guy comes into my restaurant that was over in Iraq, and he's concealing and carrying a weapon, if he has, and I have read about them, and you've read about them, and we've seen them in any number of magazines, if he has one of these flashbacks... Or if he sees, if he imagines seeing an Iraqi, or I don't know what you would see, one of these Taliban coming at him, and it's one of my servers. If he imagines seeing a Taliban or Iraqi coming at him, and it's my valet. What happens when he pulls that weapon out and he kills my valet, thinking that that was a Taliban soldier? I can't do it, Phil. I can't take that responsibility.
And so, in other words, any veteran coming into your restaurant is the object of this kind of suspicion. No one supports the troops more than you, but no one mistrusts the troops more than you either.
That is slander.
No, it isn't. You just got done telling me that an Iraqi veteran or an Afghanistan veteran coming into your restaurant may see a food server coming toward him with a drink or a plate of food and think it's a Taliban.
You know as well as I do, they have what the guy said. What is the thing, Bob? They have a flashback.
That is a phenomenon. First of all, I'd like to have that defined. Secondly, people that have been traumatized in warfare, some men have these flashbacks. I've never heard of one so profound that a guy goes...
You've never heard of a veteran going in and killing a bunch of people?
Not because of a flashback. Not necessarily because of a flashback. Maybe because, but I'm going to tell you something right now. To say that every veteran is suspect, I think that's a slander.
Well, you know, Phil, you got the audience on your side now. You've misinterpreted everything I said, and you've made me, and I'm going to use language, I'm sorry, but you've made me the ass once again on your show, and I resent it, Phil. I resent it violently.
Oh, come on, Ted. You're the guy that said that veterans coming into your restaurant are suspect, and you want to be the one concealing and carrying, and you don't know what they're going to pull, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go to a phone call here. Lon, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Ted. Actually,
yes, sir.
A couple of points you made yourself look like an ass. First off, with previous caller being a combat veteran, and you saying that you laid the law down to him that he hung up, because he was scared?
Yeah.
No, actually, he was being polite. And as far as carrying weapons,
you know,
I'm a concealed carry permit licensed out of Florida. If I came into your restaurant and someone came in,
I'm going to pat you down.
I have to pat you down. Is there a law saying
you can
pat me down?
It's my restaurant. You know.
I don't care.
Hello.
No, wait a minute. If you're doing business with the public,
is my money any less?
Well, Lon,
than someone.
Hey, Lon, hold on. This is Phil. Hold on. I want to ask Ted a question.
Well, why do you you have to make the guy's argument for him?
I want to help the gentleman's trying to make a point. Public Accommodation Act of in the Civil Rights Bill says that you, if you're doing business with the public, you have to honor the law. Okay, so it's not like it's your private home.
It's my restaurant.
It's not like a private home, though. You, if you're dealing with the public, you have to honor the law as to gender, as to discriminating based on race. And if the law says the gentleman has the right to conceal and carry a weapon.
Wait a minute. Wait just a second. Blunt, is that your name, sir?
Yes.
I'm Ted Bell. All right. If you come into my restaurant with a weapon and I've got it covered, what do I need you to have a gun for? That's why I'm frisking you and saying, don't worry about it, Lon, I got it.
Well, it's my right to carry, so therefore I can do that.
Why do you want to carry a gun into my restaurant when I already have one?
So in other words, everybody...
Let me talk to the caller. Let me talk to the caller. Go ahead, Lon. I'm talking to the caller now, if you don't mind.
I don't know
if
any of the wait staff are properly trained to use the firearm. I don't know if you are.
I don't know if you are.
You're right. You don't. I don't.
Yeah.
But I feel more comfortable protecting myself and my family than I would his weight test.
If I say to you, and I don't want to turn away your business, I want to, if I say to you, Lon, look, Lon, I know you know about my restaurant from the Phil Henry Show. Do you go to steakhouses, by the way?
Look, let's not talk.
I'm asking the gentleman a question. Do you go to steakhouses, Lon?
Yes.
Okay. Ours is a very high-end steakhouse, so I don't want a lot of gunplay, you know. So if I say to you, Lon, don't worry about it, I got it. And
you're saying I got it with your busboys and your valets.
Yeah.
Why should he feel comfortable?
Because, what do you mean, why should he feel comfortable? Why should I feel comfortable with him walking in with a gun? How do I know a waiter doesn't walk up to him and say, sir, would you like breadsticks? He pulls the gun out and blows the man's head off because he's having a flashback. Are you a veteran? Sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so how do I know that you're not going to blow the head right off of my valet when he says, you know, can I get your car for you? I don't. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. How do I know? How do I know you, as a veteran, won't just pull a gun out and start waving it around in the restaurant, yelling something about caisson or, you know, play coup or, you know, the tunnels of coochie. I don't know. I don't know. You see what I mean?
I do, but how do I know that by walking in there, if by some slim chance my weapon was to, the butt of my handgun was to poke underneath my jacket, how am I not going to know that they're not going to immediately draw down on me and start firing?
No, that's why we are there to frisk at the door. So right away, I know you got a weapon. I say, thank you, I take it. You know, nothing against you, Lon, and nothing against our great troops. No one supports...
Yeah, you keep saying no one supports the troops like you, and yet there you are suspecting troops of possibly mayhem. Hey, Lon, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it, sir, for you lending your voice. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell with us. As we continue discussing this issue of conceal and carry, and the real question here is, if we're allowed to conceal and carry, is it just Ted who's allowed to conceal and carry, and his staff, and nobody else? Now, so much of what we...
Whoa, hold on for a minute here. What are you doing?
Hey, excuse me, why did you put him back up?
Mr. Bell, why, I say something.
Don't talk to him. Tom, what are you doing?
I'm going to a commercial break.
Well, you pull away. You know, wait a minute. We just got rid of that guy. I have statements that I want to make, and then I throw it to you, and then you go to the commercial. I had statements that I wanted to make that I feel were very germane to what that man had said. You made it sound like he won the point by hanging up on me, and he goes away. You leave, Phil, and you do this a lot, and forgive me for saying this, but you leave me with the stink of rotten egg all over me. You leave me with a bad stink. And
what do you mean I leave you with a bad stink?
When you go to your commercial breaks, you make it sound like the caller won the point, and I'm sitting here in a cloud of my own stench. Do you understand what I'm saying? The point that I was making with that gentleman is very simply this. I understand he has a conceal and carry permit, and the butt of his gun is sticking out of his what? He was frightening me as he was talking. That guy right there, I would simply say, thank you very much, it's great to see you. We're full up, even if there wasn't a soul in the place, even if it looked as if my waiters and waitresses were sitting around bored to tears and yawning, I would say, oh, look at that, there's no room. Goodbye.
And what is he? What are you going to say to him when he says that you have a business, you have a restaurant, why won't you let me in?
I'll say we have a party that has reserved the entire restaurant. I have to do what I got to do. I got to do what I got to do. Okay?
You got to do what?
I got to do what I got to do. I got do. It's shorthand for I got to do what I
got
to do.
I got do.
Yeah. I got do what me got do. And what me got do is make sure my restaurant is safe, even if I got to keep man out.
Well, that shorthand is different. All right, we'll take a break here. Our number is, that's weird shorthand.
Yeah, it's pretty standard restaurant business. I got do, me do.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk about conceal and carry. Does it extend only to the owner of a restaurant or any establishment? Should it extend as well to the customers? Mr. Bell has said that among the individuals that he would be nervous about would be Iraq veterans, Afghanistan veterans, war veterans, who are carrying a weapon onto the premises, and maybe they'll have a, quote, flashback. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You gotta do.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
In this forthcoming segment, Phil Henry is going to tell you about his doctor, who was a Marine doctor in Vietnam. I have great respect for that, and I don't want him to get to tell the story until I tell you.
Why does that bother me? What you just said?
I don't know. Why does it bother you?
I wanted to tell you, and I wanted to tell the audience. My doctor, Dr. Olt, was a Marine doctor in Vietnam in 1965.
Right. Well, it gives the impression that you know more about the combat veteran than me. And I don't. I understand that you have great interest and concern for them, Phil. As do I. You know,
except you consider them to be dangerous.
No, I do not. I didn't say that. Thank you for not listening. I said it's possible if I get a veteran who is carrying a weapon, that's why I take everyone's gun off of them at the door. That's why we frisk, and that's why we don't let anybody in with a gun. If it's a veteran, and if he has some emotional problem that causes him to think a member of my staff, whether it's a waiter, a busboy, whether it is the one of these people that come in that we let them come in once a night selling roses, flowers. You know those people, Phil?
Yeah, the vendors.
Yeah. If I got a veteran sitting there and he sees one of these poor, you know, one of these Mexican gentlemen with the flowers, and he thinks the guy is Taliban through and through, and I got a dead flower man.
So all veterans are suspect.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's what you're saying, man. And all I said about Dr. Alt was that he was a doctor, and they took people across to the hospital ship and back. I was telling the story to Dan.
Yeah, but you were talking about it like he told you, huh?
Who?
Your doctor.
Yeah, he told me the story about when he was there and the work they did. I thought it was very admirable. These were Marines, and they were helping the people there. But I'm not. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, would you just... Okay, that's your doctor. He comes into my restaurant. What am I supposed to do?
Are you telling me you'd frisk the guy?
I frisk everybody.
He's a man in his 70s.
All right. He can't pull a trigger. He doesn't know how to squeeze a trigger. God, why is it that I look like the ass and you get to... You wind up smelling like someone just opened up a can of Glade? God.
Oh, come on, Ted. That's a ridiculous thing to... I'm talking about my doctor. You're going to frisk this guy and you think he's a potential criminal. He's a doctor, for God's sake. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Glenn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Glenn, go ahead.
Ted, this is Glenn Blue from South Florida.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Ted?
I'm very good. How are you, Glenn?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. I'm going pretty good. Look,
all right.
I kind of disagree. And, you know, just me saying this, Ted, don't get upset with me. Well, hear me out first. I kind of disagree with everybody in your establishment carrying a firearm. Now, I can see yourself, your restaurant managers, and your valet. Because you guys are the first hand of what's coming inside of your door. Am I right or wrong, sir?
Okay.
Now, we all have our good days and we have our bad days coming to work.
Just what if
there's two employees that get arguing and they decide to pull the guns out at each other? Then you got horns in the horns' way.
Not going to happen. The way I run my restaurant, I put the fear. Let me tell you what I do. And I'm glad you brought this up, Glenn, because it's a very important question, Phil, for everyone to know. I put the fear of the devil into everyone on my staff. One of the things I do, and I don't want to make it sound like a big deal because it's really rather chill, but I have to do this. I light a Bic lighter, and I hold my hand right over the flame for at least 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you laughing at that?
No, I'm not laughing. I'm listening to that, chief.
You're laughing, right, Henry?
No, I'm wondering what...
I put my hand over an open flame. Anyone that sees that, they know I'm boss, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, you pull out a gun and you get in an argument with each other, do what you used to do down in, you know, wherever you came from. Go out in the middle of a street.
What does that mean, wherever you came from?
A lot of them come from south of the border. And I'm just saying, go out there, you know, on your own time, but you don't do it on my time, okay? Until the world ends and we find out that this God thing exists, until then, we're on my time, all right?
So you hold your hand over an open flame, and that's supposed to do what?
Three guesses. What do you mean that's supposed to do?
What does that do? Is that makes them afraid?
Yeah. Yes, wouldn't it make you afraid, Glenn?
No, it wouldn't make me afraid.
You're kidding. A guy puts his hand over an open flame, a fire, and he doesn't flinch as the fire sears his flesh, and you're not afraid of that guy.
No, I'm not afraid of that guy. Not at all. Not at all.
What are you laughing? Who's laughing?
Me, I'm laughing.
What are you laughing at?
I would, you know what I'd do? I'd call a nut wagon. I'd call a psychiatrist. That's what I'd do.
There you go.
Am I to believe that you're egging on this caller to make me look like I'm your response? I'm telling you.
No, don't take it that way.
I'm getting the respect of my staff, and the only way I know how. I'm not fluent in Spanish, so the only way I know how is to show them I am the head honcho, hombre. You know, the word hombre in Spanish, see? And I'm the hombre. And here is, God, if you're ending this hour, Henry, I want to talk to David Hall, thank you.
David Hall? Ted?
That's all.
All right, we'll be back. World Famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Glenn, for your call. Thank you all for participating. We'll be back. The World Famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, I believe, next, we have Phil David Hall. Henry. David G.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
It is the world famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this show, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We go places that other talk shows wish they could, but they can't because they can't. This is Radio for Patriots. I don't know what that means, but.
Sounds good.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. So join us, won't you? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we are online at philhenryshow.com. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up for a backstage pass. And, by the way, you loyal backstage pass holders, you guys that have been with us for years, you guys who have just signed up with a backstage pass, those of you who may go over tonight and get a backstage pass, your loyalty is going to be rewarded very soon. That's right. So go over to philhenryshow.com. You can watch our live streaming video of the show right now on Phil TV in HD. 877-876-PHIL. 9/11 is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the tragedy of 9/11 right around the corner. To talk about this with us is David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication for our program. On the road tonight, David. And we just had Ted Bell on the air.
I heard that.
Did you want to follow up with any of that?
Upset that you leave the air and you go to commercial breaks, Phil. And a lot of times you'll go to a commercial break having just talked to the caller, and the two of you sort of make the point
And then you go to a break and you don't let Ted end the segment as if he made the better point. You see?
And so every segment I'm supposed to end with...
This is something that you should know as a broadcaster and with an advertiser like Ted Bell or any broadcaster with any advertiser, you want to make them look good. When you go to a break, having just told Ted Bell, I think what you said to him was something along the lines of, and I understand your feelings, Phil, that our veterans are not criminals, and our veterans should be treated better than Ted Bell frisking them and thinking that they're going to have a, I forget what he said, a flashback?
Yeah, he thought that any veteran that was concealing a weapon was likely to have a flashback and think his waitress is Taliban.
Right, I understand your point. But he is the sponsor. And in that instance, when we go to a stop set, the last thing that should be said is Ted being looking good. So he can say that and look good. And that's your job. I don't know what else to tell you.
And my job, I don't see my job, David.
Well, hold on. I'm just telling you. Don't tell me how you see your job. Tell me what your job is.
My job is not to let my sponsor go into a break feeling like he's made a big point on how veterans are criminals.
You want to argue about this. The reason why I came on your show tonight was not about this.
No, I understand that, but Ted, did he call you?
He called me as soon as he got off the air, and his point was a good point. He said every time you go to a commercial break, he is sitting there, and I think he used the term, in his own stench. Did he say that to you?
Yes.
All right.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, it means, what it sounds like to me is that in a room where there's a bad smell, you don't want to be the guy that everyone thinks created it. And Ted is saying that when you go to a commercial break, he's left looking like the guy that created a cloud of stench. That's what he said to me. I'm just quoting him.
Well, you understand that is an unreasonable. Everything that he's saying is very unreasonable. I have to be able to talk to my audience honestly, and I have to be able to talk to my caller and my guest honestly, and I'm certainly not going to allow what I think are ridiculous statements to be made.
Well, it's your show. You can do what you want. I mean, the reason why I came on your program tonight is for an entirely different reason. Phil, you can do whatever you want on your show, and people are going to listen to you for Phil Henry. They're not listening to you for Ted Bell. I understand that. But I'm just saying, when it comes to a sponsor, and that's what he is, and that's what the money is.
All right, I understand that.
All right, so he...
All right, so tonight, David, you're on line with us as we look ahead to Saturday.
That's right.
Which is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the events of September the 11th of 2001. And we are planning on our show, as we usually do, and that'll be our Saturday night Los Angeles show, our local Los Angeles show. As we always do, we will be playing the sights and the sounds I shouldn't say sights, it's radio, but perhaps as we have our Phil TV and HD video cast going, we will show some of the newscasts and things like that.
No, I understand that, Bill. I think it's a good call. What I need for you to do for the national show, and that is our Monday through Friday show, and this is one of those areas where we always talk, and you are concerned that the audience is going to hear something. And again, you need to understand, the audience is very selective in the way they hear things. But I wanted to come on your program tonight and talk because I think it's very important, and I think there's broadcasters listening who understand this. I think it's important that you, on the air on Friday night, it'll be the night before the actual anniversary, you reenact 9/11 as if you were on the air when it happened. And you can play a lot of the audio you've got.
Wait, you want me to reenact what?
I want you to reenact as if you were on the air when 9/11 happened.
I wasn't on the air.
No, I understand that.
I mean, it happened early in the morning out here on the West Coast. It was much, much earlier than it was back east. It was before 7 o'clock, I think.
Yes, it was before 7 a.m. out on the West Coast when everything was done, when the attacks had happened, when the Pentagon had been hit, everything. But I want you on your show Friday night here for the national show to, if you want to pre-record it, you can,
but pretend like you were on the air.
No, wait, okay, here we have another thing.
Let me finish what I want to say that I want to hear. Pretend like you were on the air. So reenact as if you were on the air when the 9/11 attacks happened. Like you were there, and oh my God, I don't know how you want to do it.
Okay, we're on the air right now. My listeners can hear what you're saying.
They're selective. People don't remember. I've talked to you.
Hold on. People hear you telling me that on Friday night you want me to reenact 9/11 as if I was on the air.
Yes, and the people that are listening right now are selective listeners. Everybody is a selective listener. By Friday night, they're not going to remember. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. You're getting me bogged down in a lot of stuff here.
And the people are listening to me right now, and they're listening to you right now, and they're listening to you saying, Phil, reenact as if you were on the air on 9/11. Do you want people to really believe that I was on the air on 9/11?
Yes, of course.
I wasn't.
I know that. I understand that you weren't. What I'm saying is we're going to reenact it as if you were.
So the historical record would be that I was on the air.
Well, I don't know what you mean by historical record. Phil, you're not Thomas Jefferson. You're not Benjamin Franklin.
I know I'm not Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. I'm saying...
There's no historical record here. Okay.
There were people that were on the air when 9/11 happened. There were people that were on a radio. There were people that were on TV. There were people that were engaged in their professional pursuits, whatever those things might be. I was not one of them.
I know you weren't, and what I'm trying to do is to reposition the audience's perception that you were. Now, I don't want to argue with you. I want you to do this Friday night. I want you to have the audio ready, and I want you you're an actor. You were just in that movie, weren't you?
I was just in a movie, yeah.
All right, so you know how to act. And I'm asking you to, on Friday night, you're on the air, and then the 9/11 happens. And what we would do is, if we can rehearse or whatever you want to call it, now the audience is listening now. The perception of the audience will be the following thing. They heard something they don't remember. When you go on the air and you reenact, most of the people are going to say, oh, Phil Henry was on the air on 9/11.
That's not going to... Even if people bought it, okay?
That's exactly what we want them to do, because we need to position you as more of a... to be honest with you, we need to position you as more of a conservative voice than a lot of them. One of these things I want you to do is the name Phil Henry is too much identified with... things that are non-political, and we can get into that. So what I'd like you to do now is...
Well, look at David.
Hold on for a minute. I'm not discussing this. I'm telling you. Do you understand?
I'm on the air right now.
I understand that you're on the air right now. I understand that. And believe me when I tell you, the audience, you don't understand radio audiences. They are not the geniuses you think they are. And
so they're not hearing you insult them right now.
I'm not insulting anybody.
They're not the geniuses you think they are.
Oh, boy. Radio, even as I said that, it rolled over them. They don't know what it means. Just listen to me. I want you to do, before you take the break, pretend you're on the air and you're doing your show, and then you get the word that a plane hit the World Trade Center.
Am I going to rehearse this?
I'd like you to rehearse a little bit of it, yeah.
I don't know where to begin.
Phil, I don't have a lot of time. And I wanted to do this off the air. You're busy. Now pretend like you're on the air. It's September the 11th, 2001.
It's the Phil Henry Show. It's September the 11th, 2001. And it's early morning here in, on the West Coast.
All right, now you get the word to play. Boom, the plane hit.
Well, who's telling me?
Just you got the word the plane hit a building. Start again, if you don't mind.
You know something, David?
Start again, if you don't mind.
Phil Henry Show here. It's September the 11th, 2001, and it's a beautiful day here on the West Coast. And
well, it was a beautiful day on the East Coast. Hold on for a minute. What do you mean a beautiful day on the West Coast?
It was a beautiful day out here.
Well, I don't remember that. Go ahead.
Phil Henry Show here. September the 11th, 2001. It's a beautiful day out here on the West Coast. And
boom, the plane just hit.
Oh, boy.
Boy, is that what you're going to say? Oh, boy.
You know something, David?
Hold on for a minute. I'm not having a discussion. Is that what you're going to say?
I did not know that I was going to be called upon to pretend like I was on the air on September. What is the point of this?
The point is, we want to have some actual audio of a guy that was on the air on September 11, 2001, who's a member, who's a part of our company. You are that guy. You're worried about the audience. The audience will not remember because it's selective listening. I keep telling you this. Start again, Phil.
We got to take a break.
I know. Just one more time before the break.
It's Phil Henry and...
You know, sir, let me ask you something. You're so concerned. Why don't you open up the phones? You can take phone calls. I'll be happy to talk to any of your listeners and to explain to them what it is we're doing. And explain to them how, if they find it offensive, how it is not offensive, and how they won't really remember. You want me to do that?
If we're going to be on here talking about me pretending I was on the air on...
Do you want me to do that, Phil? I can't have a discussion.
Yes.
All right. Then you give the number. You can have the people call. But in the meantime, I've got to do this.
All right. Our number is...
I want to roll through it one more time.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. As I am rehearsing, pretending that I was on the air on September the 11th, 2001. I find that to be disingenuous. It's not historical. It's not accurate. And yet Mr. Hall believes that no one is going to be upset because no one will remember whether I was on the air then or not. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Yep. It's the Phil Henry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, as we are talking about the anniversary of 9/11 and how we want to observe that on our radio show. David, you have come on the program here tonight wanting me to rehearse a performance that you want me to give on tape as if I was on the air. I was not on the air.
I understand that.
And I wasn't on the air, and I don't understand, and if you'll just forgive me, I don't understand why it is you want me to pretend like I was on the air.
The reason why I want you to pretend, as you put it, Phil, that you were on the air, is because we're coming from behind the ball on this one, being located in, I want to make sure that you get the patriotic brownie points, if you want to call it that. And more to the point, I want for when I send my salesman out to sell your show, when I'm out and I'm socializing and I am talking to people in the film business and talking to people in the television business, and they say to me, you know, you represent Phil Henry, and I say yes, and they'll ask, you know, about the patriotic brownie points, what I call them, patriotic brownie points.
And patriotic brownie points from who?
The people that I talk to, I want to make sure that you were in a good and dramatic position. And
but these are Hollywood people.
Yes.
Well, most of them are very liberal.
They're liberal, but they like the dramatic idea that you were on the air when 9/11 happened. And
is this to help sell the show?
You mean advertising?
Yeah.
Yes, it does that. It also is, these are contacts that I need. If I'm selling a script or...
So in other words, it's got nothing to do with my radio show. This has to do with your contacts in Hollywood, in...
No, it has to do with... All what I'm trying to tell you is we need dramatic... We need a patriotic, dramatic a point. And why do you... Let me ask you this, Phil. I think your audience would agree. Why are you being so... why do you want to be Mr. Squeaky Clean on this? You tell people you were on the air on 9/11. Are they going to think you are lying or telling the truth?
People, I think, give me the benefit of the doubt.
What does that mean?
I think they'll think I'm telling the truth.
That's my point.
I'm not going to lie to them.
Don't tell me you're not. I'm the guy out there on the point trying to sell your show.
You're the guy that has got contacts in Hollywood and that wants to make sure that you know people who are going to sell or buy your script or whatever you said. Let's go to a phone call. Brenda in Meridian, Mississippi. Brenda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
David, I can't
believe these are the people that called in?
These are the people you asked to call in, yeah.
What's that? Hello, go ahead. This is David Hall.
David, I could not believe that you would even think of making him lie. Like he was doing something, and it wasn't even.
Well, it's not a lie.
I listen to
it. It's not a lie.
And I
it's not a lie.
Yes, it is a lie.
No, it's not, because what it is
it is.
How do you figure it's a lie? How do you figure it's a lie?
We heard it on the radio, and we're not too stupid to remember it. We can hear.
By Friday.
We don't forget that much.
So you're saying that this radio show is, we don't have the guts to be on the air during 9/11?
She's not saying that.
I didn't say you don't have the guts.
Excuse me, let me talk to her.
I never
said
you didn't have the guts. I just said it would
have.
You would be very.
What I'm trying to say,
you would be horrible if you even thought of asking him to do something like that when he's already said that he was not on the air. I mean, we all.
You didn't know that. You didn't know that. You didn't know that until Phil said that. Had Phil said he was on the air.
Nobody knows that. He wasn't on the
Nobody
air.
Does, though.
He
does.
I'm not going to say.
Phil, would you, excuse me for a minute. Your name's Brenda? Brenda? Hold on for just a minute, all right? Phil, when I'm talking to a caller, I would like you to keep your mouth shut.
David.
I'm asking you to keep your mouth shut.
Hmm.
All right? All right, is the lady there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The caller there? All right. So, what are you complaining about? I said to him.
I can't even believe that he would even work for you.
What
I mean,
does that mean,
you
ma'am?
You don't have any gumption and no respect for what did happen on 9/11 to ask
I do know what,
something. That is disrespectful.
I do know what happened on 9/11. Mr. Henry was on the air.
Disrespectful.
Ma'am, Mr. Henry was on the air, all right? Whatever you think.
You don't know that. You've already said he wasn't.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
There you go again.
I know he did.
No, he didn't, because
yes,
I'm telling you that he didn't.
Yes, he did.
I did, David. I said...
Would you shut your mouth, Phil?
He needs to poke you in the mouth for telling him to shut his mouth. That's what he's on the radio for, is to open his mouth.
You know, I could make a joke here, and I'm not going to do it.
That's fine with me. I could take a joke, but I don't consider
9/11
a joke.
Okay. Well, I could say the same thing about you. What are you doing in life not to have your mouth open?
I'm sitting here...
David, I'm not going
to
have...
You're not going to tell me to hush.
You have something in your mouth. What did you just?
This is my quarter.
You said you had something in your mouth. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
So you come on this program. Yeah, I'll bet you do. And you come on.
All right, David, I don't need this.
I told you to shut up.
I don't want you talking to a female caller like that.
He doesn't.
Boy, listen to her laugh.
Heard worse.
Like, well, you're the one, ma'am, that came. Ma'am, you're the one that came on here and said, "Hi, I'm Brenda, and I got something in my mouth."
I didn't say.
Guess what? And win the prize.
I'm Brenda. I just said, yes, I'm Brenda.
The point is that Brenda is not going to...
Ma'am, I am trying desperately to get this radio show to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just... I want to say this. No, you didn't hear him say that. Would you please
hang up
on her?
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Would you please hang up on her? No, you did not. When I ask you to hang up, I mean hang up.
Again, Mr. Hall.
No, you didn't.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for a live streaming video of the show. David G. Hall is joining us, our Vice President of Syndication. And we're having this discussion on the air, David, because you wanted to.
No, because you were very busy, and
all right, I was busy, and we agreed to this time. But what you're asking me to do, and I think it's a philosophical dispute more than anything else, you're asking me to reenact on Friday morning for consumption as if I was on the air on the morning of 9/11. I've asked you not to have me do that because it's not true.
Phil, if it was true, we would have the tape of you being on the air on the morning of 9/11. It's not true. I understand that. I want you to reenact being on the air on the morning of 9/11 so that we have tape of you on the air facing down the worst terrorist attack in the history of this country. This is tape that is valuable to me when we go out and sell your show, yes, and other things. And I wanted to have it. I think you took the conversation in a direction that I don't want it to go in. You're talking about my contacts in Hollywood and so forth. That's really none of your business. And
well, is it not my business if you're taking tape of me reenacting being on the air on 9/11 when I wasn't?
What? Say that again.
Is it my business if you're taking tape of me reenacting that I was on the air on 9/11 when I wasn't, and you're using that as some kind of currency?
It's my business to take tape of our talent to advertisers and to important people in the film and television business, yes, that I want to talk to and that I have potential production deals with.
And so this is all about you?
No, it's not all about me, and it's really unfortunate because you're not listening. I said to help with advertising on your show as well.
All right, well, there's two things going on here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Justin. Go ahead, Justin. The two things that are going on, by the way, is that you are you're sending this tape out for advertisers as well as your contacts in Hollywood. Go ahead, Justin. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's a pretty crummy situation that you're making here. I mean, you want to get a tape of them so you could sell it to your friends in Hollywood and then disguise it as advertising, and you think that the listeners are stupid enough to not notice?
I didn't say stupid. I said that as listeners, you are selective listeners, and so some things you have a higher intelligence for than others, yes. But it doesn't mean you're stupid in 100%. I'm not. One of the things I don't want to do here, Justin, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying.
I listen to this show is because it tells the kind of stuff that even most people don't want to hear. It tells it how it is, and so you're trying to tell me that I'm a selective listener and I want to hear what I want to hear, but I'm listening to the stuff that even I don't want to try to hear because it's the truth.
Well, I don't know what you're saying.
So
I
how am I a selective listener if I'm listening to this show?
You're listening to this show right now.
Yes, I pay attention to this show because I want to pay attention to it. If I had selective hearing, I would just zone out everything I didn't want to hear. But if I'm listening to a show, I'm paying attention to it, and you're telling me I'm
a
listener?
Everybody is. It doesn't. Did you hear Mr. Henry say he was on the air on September the 11th, 2001?
I most certainly heard him say that he was not, and he thinks it's not right that you're selling his voice.
That there, and David, you tried to trick this gentleman.
Hold on for just a minute, Justin. I'm sorry, I got to do this again. I want you to shut up while I'm talking to the listeners,
David.
I want you to shut up while I'm talking to the listeners.
I can embarrass you all day long, man.
Are you going to embarrass me? Sir, I don't want to have an argument. I'm trying to tell you what I want you on my side. I want you to understand that I've got potential production deals that are worth a lot of money.
So why don't you use your own? Why don't you use your own things that you've done to actually get those production deals instead of using Phil's things to get them? Do you not have enough pull with these people to be able to do it yourself? Do you actually need help? I mean,
sir, when I go to a Hollywood producer and I say, look, I've got tape of what happened on the air on the morning of 9/11,
but you don't,
and he says that's
a lie.
I would really appreciate it if you...
You're basing all of your productions
right.
And all of your friendships off of a lie, and it's not going to work.
On a lie, exactly.
Phil, if you say one more word, I'm going to tell you...
David, he's right. It is a lie. And the people in Hollywood or whatever you're talking about, you're telling them you have...
I told you to shut up. Justin, can I ask you a question, sir? In business... Justin, what do you think about a guy that keeps on...
Phil just wanted to ask me a question. Hold on, let him talk.
No, he's not going to talk. I want to talk to you. And
I wanted to ask Justin...
I don't want you asking him anything. I'm talking to him. Justin, what do you think about a guy that won't shut up when you tell him to?
Well, I'm dealing with one because I have Phil trying to ask me a question and you won't shut up.
What do you No, I told Phil to shut up.
I know. But the guy I'm acknowledging Phil now, so if you would please
shut
up,
you can't,
Phil has a question.
No, I'm asking. No, you don't get to acknowledge him. Acknowledge me. I'm the vice president of syndication.
I'm going to ask him a question.
Well, you know something?
What's the paycheck like for that vice president job there, buddy? Is the money not enough? I mean, can the person who actually runs the show ask the questions?
Right now, I'm trying to tell my host what to do so that I've got at least a foot in the door of one of the biggest producers in Hollywood.
I've listened.
What's that?
Who cares? Why don't you, if you're the vice president, why do you need to
Are you, wait. You're telling me you don't care? Are you telling me you don't care that I've got a foot
president.
In the door?
No.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, I'm the vice president.
If you're the vice president of whatever you are, why do you need to use Phil Henry to get you pull with the director? What can't
because
be
I need tape of a, I need tape of a guy who was on the air on the morning of 9/11.
I wasn't on the air on the morning of 9/11.
Exactly. You missed out. Tough luck, buddy. Hope another one
is there
for you to capitalize on.
I hear Justin and I hear me. Did I just hear you again, Phil?
David, you can't shut me up.
Well, I'm telling you to shut up. And this gentleman that's on the phone right now doesn't understand what I'm saying because you keep butting in.
No, I'm trying to tell
this man.
I'm listening.
You don't understand. No, if Henry butts in, it confuses you. What I'm saying is this. I can get in the door. I can sit down and have lunch at one of the prime places in Hollywood with one of the top producers if I've got tape of a guy who was on the air on 9/11. Do you understand what that means to me?
So what if it means something to you? I'm not going to lie. And here's the question I wanted to ask Justin. Justin, when you heard us talking about this, you heard me specifically say I wasn't on the air on 9/11, right?
Oh, yeah, I've heard you say that multiple times.
Okay, and let me ask you something. On Friday morning, will you still remember that I said I wasn't on the air on 9/11, even as you hear me saying that I am on the air?
Oh, yeah, but I would hope that you wouldn't do that because that's just allowing him to...
Well, I'm not going to do it, you know.
Boy, Henry, you have just put your foot in it, and then you put the other foot in it. And what you've done, Phil, on behalf of this listener, you've humiliated me.
Dude, you humiliated yourself.
I don't know how I humiliated myself. Is the caller? I don't want to even talk to this caller anymore.
No, I like this caller. I think this gentleman is saying it. And it,
no, he won't listen to me, and he's sucking up to you. And
no, man, I just don't like it how someone who's vice president can have this huge attitude and then turn around and use someone like it's nothing and say that, oh, yeah, they were on the air.
The vice president of syndication. I'm the vice president of syndication. Do you understand what that is? I'm over everybody except for the president. He's the only one that's over me. Okay? So when I tell him to shut up, he's got to And if I say to you that something is blue when it's actually purple, you have to believe it's blue.
Why do I need to believe you're telling me?
What kind of...
No, you do.
All right.
Yes, you most certainly have to, because I'm the vice president.
If you tell me the Holocaust was not real, the Holocaust never happened, is that what you're telling me?
If I needed that, yes.
Okay, I've had about enough of this, man.
Oh, I get it. So that means I hate Jews now.
Yeah.
You know, and this guy's laughing. So you guys have turned this all around, and now you're making me Heinrich Himmler, because that just gives you a kick, doesn't it, Henry?
You know something? Thank you very much, Justin, for your call. It's a very good call. I have to tell you something, all right?
No, you're not going to tell me anything. But I had this all nailed down beautifully. I had this nailed down to the point where I was going to have you come on the air on Friday morning, and I'll say, we have a tape when Phil was on the air Friday on September the 11th. We play it. You were going to...
Don't tell me you're crying.
Why shouldn't I cry? We play the tape. Bill Kaufman, one of the biggest producers in Hollywood, would know that I had to, and we were going to sit down and have lunch.
What has this got to do with me?
What?
The tape! Me lying to my audience.
You're not lying! time you say you're lying, then they go, oh, wow, Phil's lying. If you would have just said I was on the air on 9/11, that guy, Justin, wouldn't have taken 5 minutes out of my life. You understand what he did? He took 5 minutes out of my life. Out of valuable 5 minutes out of my life. And I had to explain things to him, and you came in and did what you do. Now I know why you got toilet paper there in the studio. You took a big dump on it, didn't you?
Hey, all right, I've had about enough of that. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God, you hung up on Mr. Hall.
Oh, my God, did I really? Whoa, my God, I hung up on Mr. Hall. Did I hang up on Mr. Hall? Hey, Robert, did I hang up on Mr. Hall?
Look longer to me.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to call back and everything.
Let him call back. Let him. Is that him now?
Line 3, yeah, it says Hall's line. Yeah, should I pick it up?
Go ahead. I don't care.
Phil Henry Show. Yeah, okay.
You ever in the next five...
There, I hung up on him again.
Boy, you know he's going to call back.
Let him. Let him call. There it is, right?
Yeah. Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
I told you the last time...
There, you want to see me do it again? And the more and more he calls, the more and more I'm going to hang up on him.
Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
You there? David.
All I want to say is...
Well, why don't you let him say something?
I've been listening to his big fat mouth for 45 minutes.
Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
Why don't you grow up and...
We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Thank
Radio,
you.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Hello? Phil Henry Show.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we're going to bring on Jeff Dowder with us here to talk about the this news that we had on Voyager. Jeff, I'm glad you came on with us. I appreciate it very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Phil, and thank you for your interest in the NASA program and your interest in the JPL, and certainly your interest and your listeners' interest in the Voyager program, which has been ongoing since 1977. It passed Jupiter 2 years into the mission, and so you can see that it did reach a point in the solar system that was quite a long way from Earth, even within a two-year period of time. But to understand about it is that the Voyager was taking a course that was mapped out by NASA, that it was able to reach these planets at the optimum time, so it wouldn't take like 2 years. It would usually just take like 2 years to get to Mars or something, you know.
And so why did it take only 2 years to get as far as Jupiter?
Because, like I said, it was not trying to hit all of the planets and everything. It was going on a more of a direct route and everything like that. But you want to talk about Voyager and...
This is a fascinating story of Voyager. The fact that Voyager now is on the verge of interstellar space. The fact that Voyager, and that means it's leaving the solar system, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's leaving the solar system, and when they say interstellar space, is basically right what that means about it. It's between, it's in interstellar space, which basically means that it is, like you were saying, Phil, between stars, and it's in an area of, it's in an area of the galaxy, or beyond a solar system, our solar system, where it's between the gravitational pull of our sun and the gravitational pull, say, of another star and any planets that may be orbiting that. So it's really sort of in that no man's land. But like you was also saying, there's other galactic elements. There's other, other astronomical factors like solar wind and like these hypercharged particles that you was talking about.
I think it's really interesting, Jeff, as I was talking to the audience, the fact that it's 11 billion years, or excuse me, 11 billion miles, you know?
Yeah.
11 billion miles that Voyager has traveled in these 24 years. That's a long way, and yet it's not even out of, or barely out of the solar system.
Yeah, I mean, you were absolutely right when you were saying about how, you was absolutely right when you were saying about how, you know, even all of that space that it's covered, it ain't even close to being in any kind of a, what do you want to call, on a planet or some deal like that, you know, because most of what they've been talking about are people who are, most of what they're doing.
Okay. It sounds like you guys are hitting a bong there.
No, we're not. I'm sorry. Okay, most of really what is happening right now, Phil, has nothing really to do with any kind of hyperspace travel. I mean, it's just not going to happen, which brings us to the movie that you were talking about, which was Star Trek, the very first Star Trek movie.
Right. Now, that was a fascinating movie because they did, on some level, they dealt with the journey of Voyager and what might have happened to Voyager.
Can you say that again?
You know what, Jeff? If you guys are hitting a bong...
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
Because I just heard it.
That is very unfortunate. That's Toby Bo, who's...
I don't know who Toby Bo is.
You want to... Okay, could you rephrase your question, Phil?
Well, it's not... Voyager figures prominently in the Star Trek movie, the first Star Trek movie.
What? Okay. God.
Would you get...
Get out of here, man. Get out of here. It does, Phil, and... Oh, wow, look at that. Is that ski jumping?
Hey, you're on the radio with me, man.
I'm sorry. There's a... Voyager, you know,
if you're stoned, man, and that's fine. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know.
No, I'm not. No, I mean, I'm talking to you.
Well, what is this? Hey, wow, is that skiing?
What?
Just tell me what's the thing with the movie? Not that I care.
Well, I wanted to point out that in the Star Trek movie, Voyager, which is what we're talking about, the satellite that has been sent on a, you know, out of the thing. That, what was I talking about?
You're talking about Voyager and Star Trek.
Voyager and Star Trek was, in the movie, Voyager goes out into space and comes back after having had some kind of sexual encounter with another race. Okay? And it could be the Borg. I think that that's the theory that has been, you know, floated, or it's been floating, you know, it's been floating out there about...
About what?
About how Voyager went in the movie Star Trek, Voyager went into interstellar space and somehow was abducted or, this is really what happened to it, I shouldn't say, it got raped by the Borg, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Toby, is that... Because Toby wrote a paper on this for his chem-ed class, and that's what he said, that the Borg raped it. So...
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about Voyager getting raped.
Voyager got raped by the Borg?
Yeah, the ones in Star Trek. And as a result of that, it came... Oh, man...
Well, you guys are hitting bongs. I can't understand anything you're saying.
Okay, let me just say it. It got raped by the Borg, and it came back, and then it raped one of the Star Trek crew members. It raped the captain. Is that right? I think, I don't know.
Phil.
Toby. Toby, what happened? You saw it. What happened?